All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Ellefson. Thanks for joining me again for this podcast. Today, I get the opportunity to talk with a friend, somebody that I greatly respect and have gotten to know over the last probably 8 to 10 years, Mark Hamstra, who is the Director of Student Culture and Support at Noble Network of Charter Schools, as well as the head coach at Bulls Prep Academy for football. And he also does a side job as a major for the Illinois Army National Guard. He's a graduate of Wheaton College, where he was the captain of the football team and holds a master's in management and leadership from the University of Texas, El Paso. Most importantly, where he's gotten some attention recently is he wrote an article for the Chicago Sun-Times called Dedicated Teachers, Not Gun-Toting Teachers, Key to Safety in Chicago Schools. So when I reached out to Mark, I just asked him if he'd be willing to share a little bit of his experience and a little bit of his story from Afghanistan, a little bit of his story in Chicago. But Mark, give us a little bit of background before I ask you some questions of how you got to this place of being a director of student culture and support, how you got to the point of writing this article, especially in relationship to what happened in Parkland.
For sure. Well, thanks for having me, Eric. I'm really excited to be here and talk about this topic. My journey to education is not what many would call a traditional one. So I did ROTC in college and graduated from Wheaton and commissioned into the Army and spent 6 years active duty. And it's through a much longer story that I can make short. Kind of felt an urge or a call to education back in Chicago and specifically urban education while I was deployed to Afghanistan. I talk a little bit in the article about the tragic death of a young man named Darion Elbert in 2009. He was walking home from Fenger High School. And for me, that was sort of a wake-up call to some of the issues that were plaguing the city of Chicago and how, in many ways, those issues were not that different from some of the things we were facing, you know, even in a place like Afghanistan. And so, again, that being kind of a wake-up call, I committed at that point to make a career change and look at opportunities to get involved in education in Chicago. And thankfully, the Noble Network of Charter Schools saw value in kind of who I was as a person and my background in the military, and offered me a job as a dean at one of our West Side campuses where I still coach football. So I did that work as a dean and campus leader, primarily involved with culture, discipline, student life for 5 years, and then transitioned into a role with our network. So our charter network serves 12,000 kids across our city. We educate about 20% of the Chicago public schools at the high school level. And I'm really fortunate that now I get to support all our deans across our campuses and manage our discipline policies to make sure we're supporting our students and you know, making sure we have safe student cultures that are really positive and support great learning. So it's that's kind of a short story of my journey.
So in the article, you kind of write about this, that journey a little bit, and then, you know, the experience in Afghanistan and in your leadership at Nobles. I want to read a quote real quick and then, yeah, and then see what you think and go a little deeper with that. But you say in the article, real school security can't be established at the point of a gun. It grows from dedicated teachers providing great instruction in a safe and supportive environment where every student knows there is at least one adult who knows them well and cares deeply about them. Such an environment encourages students to share troubling information, whether it involves their own lives or those of their classmates. You know, with being the director of school culture in this network and across these schools with this many students, how have you done that? How have you created the culture and how have you created the opportunity for these relationships to happen? So that then, you know, it builds a positive environment and where students know that they're cared for and that people do care about, like, the depth of some of these issues that you deal with in an urban setting.
Yeah. Well, I go back and I talk a little bit in the article about one of the main lessons I learned in Afghanistan. And that lesson was that sometimes the more we sought to protect ourselves, the less safe we actually became. You know, we learned that real security was built over a cup of tea many times and not over the ends of our weapons. And that, so that posture was really, really important. And that was a huge transition for us at that time. But I think that relates to how that's translated to education for me is that When we look to establish a culture, it starts with, or to establish school safety, we feel like that's tied very closely to this culture of trust that we've tried to build with our students. And so we serve 12,000 students, like I mentioned, across our city. And every day, those students are going to walk into school without walking in through a metal detector. And for us in our context, that's significant because our students have grown up walking into school, and it feels, they'll tell us, like, when I walked into that Noble school, it just felt different. It was something about the way I was greeted. And that greeting and the way that day starts is really important for us. And that's a small thing, but a big thing for us. And I think there's other components of that where we feel like when we offer that trust, that's reciprocated from our students. And so we have dedicated staff advisors. So we have every teacher, every staff member in our building has an advisory of students that they see from the ninth grade all the way through the 12th and really beyond. So I graduated an advisory 3 years ago, and these are young men now that babysit my own kids. Like they helped me move, a few weeks ago. Like these are kids who I'm involved with even after graduation and seeing them through college. But, I think that approach for us has proved to be fruitful in that kids do reciprocate that. And when there are issues, they do a really good job of reporting them to staff so we can act on them. And that helps us to keep still, I think, what we consider a healthy posture of sort of a safety and security with our students.
So I want to go to that, maybe go a little deeper in that for issue, sure, of trust and that question of trust, because, I think now I've been in this education world for 20 years and I see trust, waning, a little bit of our culture, a little bit of our political situation, I think a little bit of our life situation right now. And in the article, you say the truth is that any school, including those I support, could be the next target, right? In regards to Parkland, in regards to, what's been happening, but we stand a greater chance of preventing more tragedies by building school cultures that are founded on trust among teachers and students, that's not as quick or visible as arming teachers. And you say there's no silver bullet to secure schools, but the answer surely is not more bullets in the classroom. And you kind of go to that place of trust. How, as a leader, have you fostered trust between yourself and teachers, between leadership and teachers, but then also teachers and students, and then also as a community of learners?
Yeah. I think it's important, like you mentioned, trust at every level. And, I'm not perfect at this, nor are any of our schools, but when we talk about culture, we define culture as priorities that are clearly, or values that are clearly defined and consistently reinforced. And we try to keep that really simple and saying, hey, here's what we value as an organization, as a school, as a community, and then really try to reinforce those consistently. So sometimes I think what happens is we name our values, but then we don't actually reinforce them. Or in other times we actually have values that we don't name, but by sort of implicitly, that's what we reinforce with our behavior. And so I think that's really important to start from that place of, this is who we are, this is what we believe in. And then that, every interaction is framed, even from a campus leader to a teacher, from a support team or admin member to a teacher. But that conversation is always grounded in a sort of a shared value, that we can frame every conversation and how we're pushing together towards that shared purpose and shared mission and shared goal. And then I think that comes down to every interaction with the student too, or that sort of mindset flows down to interactions with our students, because even if it's a tough conversation with the student, if it's feedback or a disciplinary consequence, or some of those tougher conversations, that conversation is not grounded in a place of you're wrong and I'm right. That conversation is grounded in a place of, man, I care deeply for you. And I really, we have this shared mission, we have this shared purpose for our classroom and our school. And that conversation then is grounded in that place of trust, as opposed to, I'm sort of on one side of this conversation and you're sort of on another side of that conversation.
So let me maybe ask one last question as you kind of think about this. And I'm trying to frame it the right way in this. I think it's almost multi-part. One, I'd be interested in, like, what's been the overall feedback that you've gotten on this article? And I know educators tend to be really practical people. And so, you know, in this sense of fear and in this sense of concern and in this sense of worry and somewhat of, you know, in these uncertain times, like what's the feedback you've gotten and what are practical steps that you give people to say, you know what, today you can, whether it be a school leader or whether it be a teacher, you know, in their work today?
Yeah. So I think the majority of the feedback has been very positive, especially from the education community and my networks within education. And I think teachers, for the most part, by and large, feel empowered that their job really is to focus in on being great educators, to be great instructors, to build quality relationships with students, and to not have to worry about that, sort of that component of being armed and that training. And so I think there's been really positive feedback that this gets the focus back on the right things. I think there's also been feedback where people feel threatened. And I tried to avoid a political discussion on, you know, Second Amendment issues. And I think we all have our personal opinions on many of these things. And so, but you know, there has been some negative feedback on that. And I think that's from a place of that goes back to a place of fear, in my opinion, where we're not talking about the Second Amendment here. We're talking about this idea of arming teachers and postures and the postures that our school cultures and climates create for our students. And I think going back to some of the feedback, or you know what, I guess some of the practical steps that I would give going forward is, one, it's really thinking about what are the values that our school really cares deeply about, and how are we reinforcing those with our students and with our teachers and campus leaders, and are those things consistent? I think there's also a real conversation to be had on school security, and I think for me, there's a balanced approach that needs to take place in that. I don't think a teacher necessarily needs to be, you know, worried about having to get that training for being armed, but we need to have also common sense solutions for a few people in every building who own that and who have really close partnerships with police departments. And it is an issue. It's an issue that we need to make sure we're not addressing. And I think some of the negative feedback I got on the article was along those lines, that this seems sort of like a pie in the sky theory. And so I'm definitely for, you know, really robust procedures that are in place and rehearsals for some of the worst case scenario type stuff. But those things, I think, don't need to necessarily impact the day-to-day experience of students in the classroom.
Mark, I really appreciate your time with me today. I really appreciate this. And I'll connect people with you, but best of luck as you continue your work in Chicago and really enjoyed reading this article. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric. And Eric, you've been a mentor to me in this entire journey from my time. I could think back to 7 years ago when I was thinking about transitioning in education, and you were a key component in that process and have been a mentor for the last 7 years. So I appreciate you and the work you're doing here, and happy to be a part of this podcast.
Thanks, Mark. And I'm glad you don't regret the change.
Absolutely not.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.